What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Another legendary guest that you're going to tell your friends and family you heard on the radio today. He is Bucks legend and MacFun legend. John McLaughlin joins us now. And John, my condolences to you as well about the passing of Bob Uecker earlier today at the age of 90.
Thanks, Sparky. It's interesting. I'm in one of those not desirable modes. 2 weeks ago, I lost one of my four best friends in the world, Dick Van Arsdale, the Van Arsdale twins.
Oh, yeah.
He passed away. And 2 years before that, it was Sal Bando. And my brother in that bracket as well. And now, Yuki. And when we woke up this morning and heard the news, it's just my wife and I both knew them fairly well and had a pleasure to be with them at different occasions, like weddings of Kenny Sanders' daughter and on and on and on. But Uke did a lot of things for us with the Mac Fund, and it's a loss, but he was almost 91 years old, and for a man, that's a good stretch.
For a man, it's a good stretch. It's a pretty good stretch for you too, Johnny Mac.
Well, right. I'm about 10 years behind him. I'm 81, and I could relate to you in many ways. But, yeah, you know, we're in that fourth quarter, and I guess in Euchre's terms it would be the end of the ninth inning.
So. He just scored a touchdown. He's in the end zone. He gets to celebrate now. The rest of us are still waiting to get to that point to celebrate at the end.
100%.
Where there's no more stress and all the other stuff. But this is what I'm interested to find out. I mean, you can really talk about it as much as anybody because it's something that I can't fathom. I mean, the man was the face of a franchise for like 50 years. I mean, you talked about Brewer baseball. You had Hall of Famers. You had Yount. You had Molitor. You had good players, whether it be Braun or Yelich or whatever, along the way. But when you said Brewers baseball for the last 50 years, it was Bob Uecker. It was that guy. Like, there's not many organizations you can get that with. I mean, the Bucks are similar with you, with, you know, Mr. Buck, John McLaughlin, and we can go that route with you and Paschke doing games for as long as you did. Your unbelievable playing career to go along with it. You know, maybe Uecker didn't have that with the Brewers like you did with the Bucks, but still an amazing accomplishment to stick with one organization that long.
It's one of the great stories of all of sports and outside of sports. It transitions to anybody. You don't have to be a sports fan to have enjoyed the story of Bob Uecker. And you know, I've thought about this over the years. Some of the great baseball announcers and you would know who they, if you go back to Harry Carey and, you know, a lot of the great baseball voices, because baseball has always been that one sport that it's been around longer professionally than NBA and NFL. And it's been the national sport for as long as you can remember, before the war, all the way back, and the great players that went and served in the military in World War II, and the great announcers along the line. And I'm sure there's one or two that we could think of. I can't right now, but not many of the great long-term announcers were also players. And I know Uke wasn't a great player, and of course he got us all bent over laughing about the way he would pick on himself and tell the stories of the player he wasn't or the player he was. But he was a player and then became this iconic announcer. That combination doesn't always go together. And I was thinking about this today, talking to my wife Pam about it. I did 43 years on the air for the Milwaukee Bucks. Uke did 54. And Uke did, that's 162 games. We did 82 games. And in the first part of my career, we did not do all of the games on the air. I did home radio and then whatever few TV games we had until we did them all. And so to do that and to do a baseball game that lasts, 4 hours and ours end up in, 2 hours and 20 minutes. And it's a remarkable career to be able to just do that. And the travel, and I know the last few years he didn't travel, but he traveled for 40 of them or whatever. And that's finally what got to me. I had to give up the travel. And so you put all of that together, Sparky, it's a remarkable career and one that everybody here loves him and loved him. And I've got stories. I every now and then I would call him. And every time, this is what would happen. A couple of times I got him in the car on the way to the game in the summer. And he'd be like, "Hello." I go, "Uke, Johnny Mac. Hey!" And then he would just explode. And then he would explode. So at first he'd always be defensive, like, "Who is this?" Because he's driving. He didn't look at. And then he would just light up. And every time, within 15 to 30 seconds, I'm laughing. I'm bent over laughing. He got me laughing. I'm telling you, within 30 seconds, he'd start saying things that just had me bent over. And then we would talk and visit, and we'd always talk about Sal. And then the other thing is he would do, back in the day when we had all kinds of things, early Mac Fun days, events, and we had the Gimbel's Mac Fun run, as an example. And I would contact Uke, and I'd say, "Hey, will you come down and kind of MC the opening and kick, do all the stuff up on the stage and all?" And he never one time ever turned me down. And he would come, and have to be down there at 6:30 in the morning. He'd walk up, and as soon as you put a mic in his hand, he was off to the races. And just good stories like that with him. And every time I would talk to him, we would just talk baseball. We would talk a lot about Sal and Bud and the whole era, and then Mac Fun stuff. And he wanted to know this, and he'd want to know that. And I didn't go out to dinner with him. I didn't hang with him, but he was a friend. And every time I was with him and talked to him, it was so delightful.
The question I have for you, I can't ask anybody else, not least that I know personally. How do y'all keep it so cool when you're dealing with players that are generation after generation after generation? I mean, if you think of all the Bucks players that you played with, then all the Bucks players that you know from the time they played while you were an announcer all the way through, and they still think you're cool and they still want to talk to you and do that stuff. Because that was one thing with Uecker, that he still had a locker in the clubhouse. He threw batting practice as long as he could. They waited to start a post-game celebration until he came down from the radio booth. I mean, that's something you just don't see.
You don't. And I didn't have it at the level he had it, although I was blessed. Every time Sidney Moncrief, he called me a month ago. He was in town and passing through to do a clinic somewhere, and he called me. And Mickey Davis calls me, and Bobby Dandridge. Stay connected. But with Uke, there was a level of respect there with every age group.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. An hour and a half ago, I got off the phone with Laurel Preeb, who is, you know who he is.
Yeah.
Of course, but let's tell the fans, he's Wendy Seelig's husband. And he's a class act. And Wendy and Laurel, as well as Bud, all came in for Sal's funeral 2 years ago when Dick Van died. Laurel is good friends with Tom Van Arsdale, and they live in Phoenix. And he went to the memorial visitation.
Yeah, Bud got Laurel a job in the Major League office of some sort in Phoenix years ago, didn't he, when he was in the process of commissioner? Yeah.
He did, and Laurel's no boob. I mean, he's capable.
Yep.
He's a smart, sharp, capable man on his own. And, yes, he did. And so I called Laurel back, who had called me 2 weeks ago about Dick Van Arsdale and going to the memorial. And Laurel says, I've never been in a room with so many tall people in my life. all the different ex-Phoenix Suns and people that were there that Dick worked with. And we started talking about Uke, and obviously, and you know, actually, I don't know how many people know this, how close Uke and Bud were. But, you know, Bud's actually younger than Uecker by like 3 months.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
Yes. Think about that. And Bud still comes back and teaches at Marquette, and he's remarkable. And every time I would talk to Bud Seelig, he would always bring up Sal, and because he knows how close I was to Sal. And at the time, Sal was alive, and he always said, I owe Sal everything. He was the first major free agent to sign with the Brewers and put the Brewers on the map way back in the day when they first came here. And you know that history.
I had Sal Bando Jr. on earlier in the show.
Oh, you did?
I sure did. He's a coach over at Prospects. I've known Sal Jr. for quite some time, yeah.
Yeah, yes, and he, of course, would have grown up around Uecker.
Right.
Because he would go down to the ballpark when Sal was a player and then a GM, and an assistant GM before that. And all Sal's three boys are here in town, as well as Sandy. But there's just so many Bob Uecker stories, and I don't have as many as some people, but the respect that each generation of the players, and that's what you brought up, gave to him as late as this past season, right? I mean,
for sure.
It was there. And that's good to see, because that's history, and the young guys should know the history, because that's what got them what they have today.
Johnny Mac, who else has a statue built for them over a TV commercial anywhere in this country? You got anybody? Because I don't have anybody.
No, it's unbelievable. It's a remarkable thing, and people are down there taking pictures in front of it today.
Yeah, well, that's the regular one. I'm talking about the one where he's in the front row, where he's in the last row of American Family Field with his legs crossed. That's the one I'm talking about, the TV commercial one. They built a statue based on a Miller Lite TV commercial for him.
And do you know how many people today that are younger, you could ask, they wouldn't have any idea why that's up there. Right?
And no idea. No. And then you'd have to go to YouTube and play it for them.
Yes, we saw the commercials, and boy, were those great ones in those days when they did all those athletes and Ukes, of course, once again, playing on his, you know, lack of notoriety, really.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Yeah, it was great.
It was great. So good. How you been, Johnny Mac? We haven't talked in a while. How are things?
Doing fine. My wife and I go to our granddaughter's events, games. Two of them are on the varsity girls basketball team. There's games tonight at Kettle Moraine.
Nice.
One's a freshman, one's a senior. The senior was recruited for track and has accepted a scholarship, both athletic and academic, to Illinois State University.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll be able to get down there and see her some. That's where Doug Collins went. And
that is literally in the middle of nowhere.
Yep, which we kind of like, but we can get down there. And then I have on the other side my son's granddaughters. One of them's in theater at Arrowhead. So those are the things we do. We're hanging in there, just getting into that age group, Sparky. So keep in touch with me, will you?
Hey, man, I got you forever. Don't you worry about that, Johnny Mac. John, thank you so much, my friend.
All right, Spark. Take care. Anytime.